week to week. Planet Golf, man, that's good stuff. I think you would have some fun on Planet Golf.
I think I would.
We're going to have to find a way to make that happen consistently. Our guest is Guy Cipriotto. He is the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine. Guy, thank you so much for the time, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bull and Rocco. Thanks for having me, and I hope all your listeners are doing well and staying safe and hopefully getting outside and enjoying this early summer.
Well, it's going to cool off this weekend, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. See, on Sunday, they're calling for temperatures in the high 50s. That's kind of my speed when it comes to golf. I love golfing in the high 50s. That's a lot of fun for me. Now, it wasn't necessarily in the high 50s this past Sunday, but it was raining, and the conditions weren't exactly ideal down in Florida, but $20 million donated to charity as a result of the second installment of the match. Boy, how much juice do you think there is for an immediate third? Because it seems like a lot of people were awfully intrigued. I mean, the television numbers went through the roof, and it seemed like everybody enjoyed this.
I think there's tremendous momentum for a third one, and the sooner the better. And when I say sooner, I mean next weekend, like before the PGA Tour resumes in 2 weeks in Fort Worth, Texas. It's the perfect time to do this because pretty much everybody's available, and there still aren't a heck of a lot of sports on TV. But even more than that, there are thousands of organizations in the United States that have tremendous needs right now, and golf is one of the best ways and one of the most effective ways to raise money for charity. I mean, and the match has played the last two weekends, Bull and Rocco. $25 million has been raised for COVID-19 relief efforts all across the country. I mean, think about it. We have players and owners in other sports bickering about money and when to restart and how to restart. And golf has forged ahead with these exhibitions and raised $25 million. That is the most important thing in these matches. And when the PGA Tour resumes in 2 weeks, there'll also be a lot of money going into local charities. And I don't think that most listeners understand this, or the common sports fan or just the common person understands this. The PGA Tour on an annual basis raises more money for charity than MLB, NFL, NHL, and NBA combined. So this was a great insight into to how golf can help thousands of people, these matches. And there's, you know, if not millions of people, and there's a tremendous demand for it. I mean, heck, 5.8 million people watched it on Sunday, and it was the highest rated cable TV golf program ever.
Guy, would you say that golf has maybe set the standard in terms of trying to come back and resume action during this crisis? I know you mentioned baseball there, both sides bickering, arguing, can't get over, you know, the hump there. Basketball, not necessarily arguing, but they just seem a little lost, and then football still a little ways away. Has golf really set the standard for trying to come back?
Absolutely, Rocco. And let's face it, though, there are a lot of elements to golf that allow it to be played in a safe and responsible way, unlike some other sports. I mean, for starters, it's a non-contact sport. You can go out on a golf course and not be within 6 foot of somebody else the entire time if you're just cognizant of where you are and how you're walking to various parts of the golf course and around the clubhouse and pro shop. You can't distance yourself from someone else when you're playing basketball or hockey. That's impossible. You can't play the sport in its traditional form. Baseball, you can do some things to distance yourself from others. So that gives golf a big advantage. But I also say that there's been some strong leadership in golf, and that leadership took some severe criticism when the Players' Championship was going on in mid-March, because if people remember, they played the first round of that event in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, and they were getting ready to start the second round before they made the decision to cancel it. And PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan was maybe the number one public enemy in sports that weekend for even trying to play, despite the fact that it was played at TPC Sawgrass over hundreds of acres in a warm weather environment where fans can be dispersed. So it takes a lot of strong leadership. It takes a vision. I mean, like I said, Jay Monahan of the PGA Tour Commissioner, even when they announced June 11th as the restart of the PGA Tour, he was taking a lot of criticism. And we're 2 weeks away, and unless something more unforeseen than what we've dealt with over the past 2.5 months emerges, they're going to be playing golf on the Golf Channel in front of a live TV audience next Thursday, and then they'll be on CBS for the weekend rounds of that. How remarkable is that when you consider what's going on and how unlikely people made it sound like that this plan was going to happen?
And I think after seeing what we saw this past weekend in far less than ideal conditions, there was so much entertainment value at play here that I think people are left wanting more. And I know you answered this question to a degree last week when we threw this at you, but if not Tiger and Phil, and I think Tiger and Phil fit here because those are two very recognizable games, recognizable names even outside of golf, but who else could they put in this position to, let's say, do something maybe not this weekend, but next weekend before the PGA Tour resumes play again? Are there some names out there you think you could throw in the mix that might be a realistic possibility? I know Steph Curry's been a name that's been thrown out there because he's a pretty darn good golfer, and let's be honest, what else is he doing right now? He's like a lot of other people in that same boat. Are there some pairings out there that you could still really work and move the meter?
Well, you could take the current and the former president, right, and put them on separate teams with a PGA Tour player, and I think that would move the television needle. But, yeah. But the chances of that happening are, well, okay, that's non-existent, so that is speculation or dreaming beyond dreaming. But if you're looking at the golf end, you heard one of those voices this past weekend, Bull and Rocco, and both of you know how tough broadcasting is. Well, Justin Thomas, who's a 12-time PGA Tour winner, a major championship winner, one of the great young players in the game, came out of nowhere, and I don't know what you guys thought, but he was terrific on that broadcast, and you guys know how tough broadcasting is, and to have never done it before and be that good on a broadcast in the rain, watched by that many people, boy, how high did his star go because of that? And he's a fabulous player, fun to watch. I think you would put him on one team if you're looking to get away from Tiger and Phil, and then put Brooks Koepka, who called in. He's the four-time major champion. He's starting to become a little more candid and outgoing, and he's one of those guys that I'm sure would let it fly in terms of ribbing others and giving others grief on a made-for-TV setting on separate teams. And then, you know, you could pair him with maybe Nelly and Jessica Korda from the LPGA, to players that are in the top 15 in the world. They're sisters. You know, you put the sisters on opposite teams, and that would be fun to watch. I don't think that moves the needle like Tiger, Phil, Brady, and Manning. So if you're looking for people outside the golf world, I mean, well, heck, could you imagine if you had Steph Curry and Tony Romo on opposite teams? Two excellent golfers, near scratch. Tony Romo has played in some PGA Tour events on exemption. Steph Curry's played on some Korn Ferry Tour events on exemption. So, you know, those are two that really come to mind. Of course, people would love to see Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan on separate teams, but you think Tom Brady was tough to watch. Imagine trying to watch Charles Barkley for 18 holes, but I don't think people would care because it would be so entertaining having him mic'd up and hearing what he has to say. And when you really think about what happened last weekend, I mean, how impressive was it that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning agreed to that, right? Like, you're putting your whole vulnerability out there for the entire sports world to see. These are people that have excelled at everything they've done. Anytime that they've had a TV camera on them, they've pretty much succeeded. They were the best at what they did, and then they were put in the most vulnerable position possible last weekend. And weren't they terrific with how they handled that? And, you know, without them, you're not raising 20 million for COVID-19 relief efforts. So there are a lot of possibilities out there. There are a lot that would move the needle. And like I said, while we're in this gap getting ready for sports to start, next weekend would be a great time to do it, because once the PGA Tour gets going again, it's going to be challenging to get at least the golfers in on this.
Guy Cipriano, editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's stay on this for just another moment here, because you had talked about the impressive play of both Brady and Manning kind of going outside their comfort zone and also playing in a tough track, dealing with the weather as well. Who was more impressive to you? I mean, I felt like overall it seemed like maybe Manning felt the pressure a little bit towards the end, but his approach shot on 18 really set them up to close things out. But how do you argue with what Brady did? I mean, Phil Mickelson did basically drive the green in a par four, but he didn't exactly set up Brady with a gimme eagle putt, and he still was able to sink that. So he had a couple of really impressive shots. Did one stand out or perform maybe a little better than the other in your mind?
I think if you were going to play him in a head-to-head match, based on what we saw on Sunday, Peyton Manning would win. However, Tom Brady's like that dude we've all had on our scramble team. He hits bad shot after bad shot, but then he comes out of nowhere and hits these shots that help you, your team shoot a ridiculous number or possibly win the event, right? Like he holed out from 100 yards on number 7. I mean, who saw that coming? And then after Phil drove the green on number 11, Brady made the 20-footer. And those are the type of things when you're talking about team golf that win you the event. I'm sure, Bull, you've played in golf outings. I'm sure you've had a guy like, well, I mean, obviously not somebody like Tom Brady, but that dude who's just come out of nowhere to help those key shots so your team can post a low number, that's exactly what Brady reminded me of.
That's a great way of putting it. You're right, because I think if you've been in a scramble of some sort, you have a guy that maybe at the tee box doesn't do so well for you, but for whatever reason, he brings out the flat stick, he sinks a 30-footer, right? And you're right, he can shave a couple strokes off the score for that scramble. You're right, that was a very interesting way of looking at it, because we all knew what Phil Mickelson could do, we all knew what Tiger Woods could do, but I think the great unknown with Manning and Brady was what really kind of made us glued to the TV on Sunday. And I mean, you talked about it earlier, this was the most watched golf program in cable TV history, and that makes you wonder if golf can just continue to capitalize on this momentum, which brings us right back to what we mentioned before with these potential pairings. And I think for golf to capitalize on this momentum, they've got to find ways to grow some of the stars, the likes of which you just mentioned. Brooks Koepka mentioned that he would certainly put some money on the table if Tom Brady was able to get a par on the front nine, right? So I think that was a lot of fun. People had a lot of fun with that. You mentioned he's not one of those guys that's afraid to get out there and throw a few jabs at people. And then you talk about Justin Thomas and his comfortability, you know, having a microphone in his hand. He's also, as we talked about last week, the face of their new video game coming out here too. Marketability is a big, big part of golf. And I feel like if you put those two guys especially at the forefront here, it could do nothing but help the game moving forward.
Yep, and anything you get from Tiger Woods right now is a bonus or unexpected. I mean, who thought at age 44 with all the personal problems and all the health problems that he would be doing what he's doing right now? And how good did he look on Sunday? He's my pick to win the Masters now, Bull. If you're still having me on in November and ask me who's going to win the Masters, I'm going to say Tiger Woods. He's got the experience at Augusta National, and it looks like health-wise, he looks as healthy as he's looked in a long time, in years possibly. So, yeah, but it's great to get other players besides Tiger involved in these things, because golf does have to position itself for the future, and there are some engaging personalities on the PGA Tour, and unfortunately PGA Tour play and traditional tournament golf wipes that personality away sometimes. You're going 72 holes, you're grinding all the time, you just can't show a lot of that personality or emotion in typical stroke play format. And that's the one thing, you know, you heard after this broadcast, though, why can't all golf broadcasts be like this? Well, you got 150 players, they're spread out over the entire course, they're playing for money that goes into their own pocket, not charity money like this one. So it's difficult to replicate in the traditional PGA Tour format what we saw last Sunday, but what we saw last Sunday certainly suggests that there's a big demand for a few fun golf events that are for charity, and it'll be interesting to see if they continue even when we get back to whatever normal is. You wonder how much of that $5.8 million was because of the players and people involved and the personalities involved, and how much of it was because there isn't a heck of a lot of sports on TV right now, live sports at least.
Well, and golf seems to have the market, at least for the foreseeable future. They're supposed to get back to play here. As you mentioned, tournament action is supposed to kick back in a couple of weeks, and as you stated, that does give golf at least one more weekend to work with here if they want to put one of these things together very quickly, and I think we would all be up for that. Guy, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll have another one of these to talk about next week, and you know what? If nothing else, in a couple of weeks, we will have some PGA Tour golf to talk about, and I think we can all get behind that.
Yep, thanks, Bull and Rocco, and always enjoy coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Guy. Always enjoy having you on the show. Again, that's Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on